I would say reunited and it feels so good, but Andrew Filippone's not here today. He's off. He's taking a breather. He was so devastated earlier in the week by the Greg Brown unfollow that he went to our boss, said, "Boss, I need a couple mental health days. I'm emotionally shook right now. I don't know why Greg unfollowed us. It stuck with me all week. I can't really shake it. I just need a long weekend." And because Andrew's such a hardworking guy, our boss obliged. So it's Chris Muller solo today. I was the cause of the Greg Brown strife from midweek, so you know what? I'm going to own it. I'm here. I forgot to send a tweet out telling you what we had in store today on the PM team because I'm out of practice. I'm back in the building for one day only. It's like a one-night engagement, right? A band gets back together. It's like if the Rolling Stone, well, they still tour, but you know what I mean. Except if the band was really crappy because it's me. And I'm back in here and I don't know what to do. And of course, before I can even tell anybody what's going on the show today, and there's a lot. I've got takes. I've got things built up in the old noggin here. Keyboard on one side in here stopped working for me. I assume it was working completely fine until today. The mouse on another terminal, the one Andrew uses, which has to have been working well. He's been using it. Working all wonky today. I'm convinced that forces within the building decided they found out that Pony was taking a day here. They found out that I would need to come back in for a day. And they booby-trapped the room. What else am I to believe? So we're already off to an inauspicious start. And in lieu of, you know, there's no games for me to talk about to take my mind off it, so you're going to hear me moan and groan, frankly. Because I expect everything to be perfect at all times, because that's clearly the effort that I bring to the table, as Craig can attest. Craig's looking at me like he wants to shoot daggers through my chest at this point.
Still wiping the room down in here, too.
What's on tap today is brought to you by my friends at Fathead's Saloon. Food and beer takeout available. Fathead's, a lot of good stuff there. I think yesterday was National Brisket Day. They've got whole lots of that there. So go to Fathead's. They're awesome. A lot of great beer, a lot of great food, a lot of great people that you're supporting when you go there. Here's what we got for you. Jason Mackey, our Pirates insider, pays his weekly visit in about 20 minutes. A lot to discuss with Major League Baseball. I think, and we're going to start with that in a minute, a lot of conflicting signals again. And there's a certain through line for all of Major League Baseball's issues that has been particularly frustrating for me that I'll get to momentarily. But Jason's going to join us in 20 minutes, see what he thinks about all that. Mike DeFabo, we haven't talked to him in a while. Penguins beat writer for the PG at 325. Former NFLer, the pride of West Allegheny and Pitt. Our NFL analyst, Doran Dickerson, at 425. Smoked wings enthusiast, Doran Dickerson, at 425. And we might. We're efforting, as we say in the business. There's a huge sporting event happening probably about 5 miles from here, Craig, maybe. Not even as the crow flies. Very close to my stomping grounds. The match, two. Pompiani, Walsh. Chartiers Country Club. We are efforting Bob Pompiani for late in the show. Bob doesn't even know we're efforting him. If he's in his car by now, because the match should be wrapping up, this might be the first he's hearing it. So we're going to try to talk to Bob Pompiani about his 2.0 match with Rich Walsh that should be rounding itself up here shortly if it's not already over. A lot to do on a Friday show, and I hope you're well. You can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line at 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Pennsylvania has gone green, so that's good news. Still exercise caution while you're out there and common sense, but green is good. We like that. That's positive development for the community here. I found out today that being a guy who, like, because I haven't been outside that much, right? Like, and when I've taken my kid and my dogs out for a walk, there's nobody out there, so you go maskless. I don't think that's, like, that irresponsible. You're not anywhere near anyone in my neighborhood. Like, nobody's out. Today is the first day I realized wearing a mask and being a sweaty guy, it is, like, the opposite of the chocolate and peanut butter, two great tastes that taste great together. Like, masks are inconvenient, but you wear them because that's the right thing to do right now. Being a sweaty dude and wearing one, yeah, creates a bit of an issue. And Craig is in there. He's not a sweaty guy, but he's wearing like a winter balaclava. If I was doing that right now, I'd have my entire face would just be like a faucet running down off my chin.
It gets sweaty in here.
Well, you just collected some winnings from a bet you won, so you might want to go buy a summertime version of the balaclava. Some winnings that I delivered to you with a few choice words that I can't say on the air.
I was very happy to see you in person again for the first time.
Yes, because I had been skirting my responsibility to pay you on something for a while. I want to know this. Here's my opening like sort of thought. How much damage we've talked about every time we've discussed baseball and the return of that league, Major League Baseball. For me, it's been through a very specific prism, right? And this has been the prism has been this. How much damage will baseball do if it doesn't come back in 2020 because of financial issues? How much damage will the sport do to itself if squabbling between the owners and the players and an inability to come to a deal that's amenable to both sides is the stumbling block here? And there's just no baseball. The NHL finds a way, gimmicky or not, to come back. The NBA, I know nobody cares here, but the NBA finds a way to come back. Pro football starts on time. College football looks like a weird bastardized version of itself, but it's back. How much damage would baseball, America's pastime, do to itself? How about we twist the question into this? Because this is where I'm at mentally. How mad should we already be? How much damage has already been done by baseball? For me, the answer is a lot. I was thinking about this when I was getting ready for the show today. And you're kicking around stuff, right? You're in this position. There's no sports happening. So your brain is just wandering. For me, at least, that's like an effective tactic to get ready for shows. I just sort of let my mind drift on the topic of random sports subjects and see where it goes. Very fun. I think that's what they did in the 60s on LSD. And I just let my mind drift, and I thought, they've already done damage to this sport. No doubt. Like, no question. And here's why. I don't know. I'm 50-50. I don't profess, like, any sort of special knowledge on the inner workings of this, and maybe Jason Mackey can shed some light, but I know for people like him, it's been tough to find things out too. And I'm not even going to single out either side on this. I'm just going to say this. People are already boiling over. Go to any Facebook comment section, right? Go to Twitter when like a big insider, a national insider tweets something about baseball. People are already mad about this. There isn't like some volcano of fan anger that's going to erupt. People are already ticked. And they should be. Do you know why I'm mad at baseball? Because I've gotten no indication. I understand that there was a deal, not a deal, but a proposal that was discussed in mid-March or in late March, 2 weeks after this all started. Why has baseball not been working around the clock, basically? Like the powers that be. The Tony Clarks, the Rob Manfreds, the owners in general, all the particulars. The day this all ground to a halt, March 12th, right? The first day, I think, without sports, basically. I guess March 13th might have been the first full day. I want to say there were some ACC tournament games on March 12th that I recall being the final games that were played. Why wasn't baseball immediately turning its eyes toward a return in ways that like are reflecting tangibly now? People might say, oh, Chris, you don't know. They might have been. If baseball was really serious about, hey, we need to play, we need to make sure we have as few games missed as possible, wouldn't they have had better hard and fast solutions earlier on? Where was the framework for any of this? Why are we still trying to get a sense of what's going to be what with baseball's return, if it returns? Why weren't the players and the owners hammering out a deal in private? Every couple of days, something substantive was being exchanged. There had to be knowledge that this was going to go on for a while. People aren't stupid that run these leagues. You have to be able to sort of see the future here a little bit and get that this isn't going to be an easy fix. And I understand that the country, maybe relative to like the KBO in South Korea, where they were ahead of the game on this and where where the logistical challenges are a little bit different, there's a reason why they started earlier. Why is baseball still in an intractable position here? Why isn't all the ugly negotiating that's going on right now, some of it maybe having materially changed since March because of just the dynamics changing, why wasn't all of that done behind closed doors in March, in early April, contingencies were made. Hey, this is a level we have to acknowledge we might get to this level. We might have to sacrifice this much of the season, this much, this much, this much. And like having and have that mapped out and agreed upon in some tangible way. It's May 29th. It's May 29th, and where are we? It's small potatoes in the scheme of things. Like, the country is crazy right now for a variety of reasons. But where were these discussions being had a month and a half ago? Like, in real concrete terms, where was the sense of urgency? Anybody out there ever write a paper in college and do it the night before and it's like a 10-page term paper? Craig's nodding yes. I'm nodding yes as I say this because that was the only way I tended to work. It's a stupid way to do things, isn't it? Even if you come up with something that gets a good grade, you feel crappy about it. And next time, don't you always, always, always tell yourself, I'm not going to let it come to this next time? And then you typically do because you're a college kid writing a paper. You're not somebody presiding over a multi-billion dollar industry. That's what this is, though. The Players Association can only react to what the owners really throw at them. But they can try to prod and say, do you have something for us? The owners drag their feet. Major League Baseball's side of it drag their feet. Nobody seemed to want to acknowledge that this might not get better anytime soon. And look where they are now. What are we? The realistic date, and Jason Mackey maybe can give us a little more clarity on this and certainly opinion on this, our Pirates insider coming up next. June 5th through the 10th, that range of dates is what I keep hearing from people is like the drop dead, right? Why are we 7 to 12 days. I can't count. Why are we 7 to 12 days from what most people think is a drop dead date with no real progress, it seems, in this? Negotiations can get ugly, especially when big money's involved. This reeks to me, reeks of procrastination to the highest degree. And that's why, for me, on some level, I'm looking at this and saying to myself, it's not a question of how much damage baseball will do if it doesn't play. It's a question of how much damage has baseball already done by handling things this way to this point. And I think the answer is more than you'd think.